Good Monday morning. This is Megan Barth, not Kevin Wall today, as he is on vacation and on vacation all week. So you got me, Megan Barth, RiganBabe.com, 9 to noon every day this week, Monday through Friday. And this is a place I love to sit because I love sitting behind this mic. I love talk radio. Why? Because I get to talk to the real people out there that move and shake this country, the hardworking men and women of this country. And they all have an opinion and they want to get involved. And that's why I invite you guys out there to give us a call. Send me a tweet at RiganBabe. At RiganBabe.com is where you can find me. Send me an email or on Facebook. If you'd like to call into the show, I'll take your call. 1-844-2-NEVADA, 1-844-263-8232. And we'll clear a line right now. We'll go to Al, who's been patiently waiting, and he wants to talk about the Dean Heller office break-in, which occurred this Saturday evening. So, Al, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how does a senator get their office broken? And don't they have a security guard or a camera or something? Or I know Heller's sort of challenged there, but maybe he could get one of those peel and stick security systems or something. I mean, this is strange. And if he's that, does he have access to confidential information on his computers? I mean, if he's in that inept, this is strange. I mean, how do you, and I notice he's next to the liposuction clinic there, but I don't understand it. I mean, how someone at that caliber doesn't have better security, and that's, and I hope someone investigates it.
Well, yeah, as I understand, and it was breaking news this morning, and I thank you for your call, Al, but I know it was breaking news this morning, and so there really isn't a lot of information available because it's so new. I would assume that there's security cameras. That would make sense, right? But I don't believe that there would be, you know, an armed security guard there for 24 hours. I don't believe that any senatorial office, local senatorial office has that. But we do know from preliminary reports that there was a threatening note left behind. So this kind of raises also the violence that we are seeing against many representatives on the right. We don't see a lot of threats being labeled against the left because the left is actually the ones that are engaged in the violence and calling for violence as they refer to anyone that does not agree with them on the right as racists and homophobes and xenophobes and Hitleresque and Nazis. This is going to, as it did in Virginia, basically trigger someone that's mentally unstable to carry out their mission of violence against the right. And we see this time and time again. So I think Metro will probably provide an update to this story, and we'll get some more information as the story unfolds. But, crime in Vegas, that's kind of second nature, right? We have a lot of crime in Vegas. Our Metro Police Force does a great job in trying to abate that crime. But I'm sure that with this violent note being left behind, this was definitely a political hit job. This just wasn't something that was petty theft. And so we'll find out more as we go along. But, you bring me to another article that I thought I would bring up. And this has to do with, and thanks for your call, Al, this has to do with Democrat hacking. Right. So the Democrats keep saying the Russians hacked us. The Russians hacked us. The Russians influenced the election. We have no proof of that. We have all innuendo. According to WikiLeaks, their source was not a Russian. Their hack was not a Russian hacker. By all accounts and purposes and innuendo provided by WikiLeaks, it was actually Seth Rich, who now is 6 feet under mysterious circumstances. No one in the DNC that he worked for has provided any information nor even a bounty to find his murderer. They've just kind of ignored it and wanted it to go away. But speaking of hacking, this is a story that really gained no traction in the mainstream media, shocker, but it has to do with the Awan family. And I talked about this months ago. And the Awan family was a Pakistani family that was hired by no less than 16 Democrat senators. These people, the Awans, made $4 million as IT staffers, which is, I don't know, about 400% more than your average IT staffer. $4 million. They had access to highly confidential information related to our national security. They worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Meeks and others, Democrat senators. And they had passwords and they had downloaded information onto their own personal computers. And they had fled the country after they were discovered. And now they are in Pakistani protection. Well, this brings me to this story, Daily Caller. House Democrats professing moral outrage over the hacking of the DNC have remained apparently indifferent to the likely penetration of their congressional computer systems, declining to distance themselves from five Pakistani House server administrators who are the subject of an ongoing criminal investigation. House authorities banned the five administrators from the Congressional Information Technology Network in February as part of a Capitol Police criminal investigation in what Politico described as serious, potentially illegal violations on the House IT network. Imran Abid and Jamal Awan, Hina Alvi, Natalia Sova, and Rao Abbas set up the email accounts and computer systems for dozens of members of Congress and their staffs. And they could read all emails and files on those systems. A fellow congressional IT aide told the Daily Caller News Foundation investigative group that potentially sensitive information was being transmitted to an offsite server. Capitol Police seized a laptop computer tied to Florida Democratic Rep. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who had resigned during the investigation. The laptop was tied to Imran, her top IT person since 2005. So 12 years. Imran, setting up IT networks under Debbie Wasserman Schultz, now under criminal investigation. Where is the outrage from the Democrats about that hacking? You're not going to hear it. But instead of praising the Capitol Police for stopping a security breach, the Florida Democrat demanded they return her laptop to her. She actually threatened the Capitol Police chief, and you can find that on a video. Even though it could be evidence needed to build the case, she threatened the police chief with consequences if it wasn't returned. Democrats have claimed that they deplore hacking and view cyber attacks as a dangerous frontier. Wasserman Schultz introduced an amendment Thursday aimed at blocking a security clearance for any individual in a position in the executive office of the president who is under a criminal investigation by a federal law enforcement agency by aiding a foreign government. Yet the lawmaker has refused to fire Imran even after House law enforcement banned him from the network. He's still Imran, who is under criminal investigation, is still being paid with taxpayer dollars to work for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the former head of the DNC, who rigged the primary so Hillary Clinton could be the nominee. The fact that this woman is in power and not in jail still defies all sensibility. California Democrat Rep. Ted Lieu wrote a letter accusing Trump of jeopardizing national security by not taking cyber protection seriously. He noted that he had majored in computer science in college. Well, Rep. Ted Lieu, how about you perhaps protect your own Democrat, your fellow Democrat network of computers that are sitting in the House from these Pakistani hackers? It is unbelievable. This, again, is a story that you're not going to hear. Now, this same kid, the same Democrat congressman, Rep. Ted Lieu, who has majored in computer science, employed one of the Awan brothers. Lieu gave Abid server access when the latter had a criminal record. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You just got to look for it. I look for it every morning. That's why I bring this to you on the radio, so I can give you a little bit of education as we get away from Russia, Russia, Russia. And I'll give you a little bit more truth after this break. This is Megan Barr with ReaganBabe.com, live and local now. And welcome back. This is Megan Barr with ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall today and every day this week, 9 to noon, live out of Sin City, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and all throughout the state of Nevada and Southern California. I'm so happy to be with you all today. And getting back to this story... The story is important about the Awan brothers. And why it's so important is because the narrative that's being generated by the leftists in the mainstream media and their cohorts in the Democrat Party want you to believe it was just Russia that hacked the election, and that you know, Trump is an agent of Putin, and his son is an agent of Putin, and the whole entire administration is working for the Kremlin in order to undermine the United States and throw us into communism, when in fact the Democrats want to throw us into communism. They had a communist running under the Democrat ticket by the name of Bernie Sanders, for crying out loud. He honeymooned in Moscow. Who honeymoons in Moscow? Believe me, when I go on my honeymoon, it's going to be on a beach somewhere nice with an umbrella drink in my hand. I'm not going to go over to, you know, Red Square. So back to the Awan brothers, because Jackie Rosen, you know, Jackie Rosen, our new state senator, is she? Yes, new state senator. She also employed one of the Awan brothers, or at least who was connected to the Awan brothers. And so this narrative needs to be thrown back. As far as when the Democrats want to talk about Russian collusion, what about their collusion with Pakistani moles and employing Pakistani moles, who many now are still employed by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but many of them fled to Pakistan and can't be found. Now, why is that? And they fled with highly confidential and sensitive information related to our national security. One of them actually is tied to a Iranian fugitive wanted by the United States government and has direct ties to them. So whenever you see a Republican congressman that has a mic shoved in front of his face or a camera shoved in front of his face, they should be asking the press, why aren't you talking about the Awan brothers? What about those foreigners who meddled and hacked into the DNC server? Which brings me to my next point. If the Russians hacked the DNC server, which is what the DNC claims, why didn't they turn over their server to the FBI upon request? Why wouldn't they want to get to the bottom and find the perpetrator or the entity who hacked the confidential information housed within the DNC server? We found out a lot from that hack published by WikiLeaks about how the Democrats rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders. And I've said before, I feel sorry for Bernie Sanders supporters. They got cheated and robbed by the DNC. And I believe that it would have been a much closer race if Bernie had run against Trump. You had a socialist against a capitalist. And this is the fight that we are in as far as a battle of ideology. This isn't Democrat and Republican fighting against each other. These are a battle of ideologies, a battle of ideas about whether or not we as a country are willing to sacrifice our individual liberties on the altar of big government. Or if we believe that big government should provide for us from cradle to grave. And you watch the policies of the last 8 years under Barack Obama and the expansion of government and the expansion of the entitlement class, the expansion of regulations, empowered the very few and left everybody else as serfs, dependent upon government. And this is why the Democrats lost the election. This is why Barack Obama, because of his policies, lost over 1,000 congressional seats. This is why we dominate governor races across the country. Because America wasn't founded on socialism. America was founded upon the individual and the rights of the individual. Not granted by government, not bestowed upon him by government. His rights bestowed upon him by God and protected by the laws of government. Should not be infringed upon by government. But you ask anybody like Jackie Rosen or Nancy Pelosi or Howard Dean, if you really want to talk to Howard Dean, they'll be the advocates of bigger government. And I often ask many socialists, and perhaps I'll ask Erin Bilbray tomorrow, because I believe she'll be in studio with us, Jameson, tomorrow. Is it Tuesday? She's in studio. I know she's coming in one day this week. I believe it's tomorrow. And she's a Bernie Sanders supporter. I think she's a former Democrat. She might still be a registered Democrat. I don't know, because currently you can't register as a socialist that I'm aware of. But I asked many of my friends that were Bernie Sanders supporters. I said, do you think that, you know, government is corrupt? And they would say yes. And I said, well, then why would you want to grow that corruption by growing government? As all socialism does, it just empowers the people at the top. Tell me where you find a middle class in a socialist country. You don't. And that's why the middle class rose up, the working men and women of this country, the small business owners, the moms and dads, the Democrats in the Rust Belt, rose up and voted for Donald Trump because they saw their pocketbook shrinking from the weight of government and the policies of big government. They couldn't find full-time jobs because of these socialist policies under Barack Obama of big government. Like I said, Obamacare created a whole working class of part-time folks because businesses that hired full-time were penalized by the cost of Obamacare. So they just hired part-time workers. Even Starbucks, the liberal Schultz himself that owns Starbucks, reduced full-time employees to part-time because he didn't want to pay the penalty or the price of the exorbitant costs that Obamacare gave us. And so this really is what we have not entered into, not a Republican-Democrat debate. It's a socialism-capitalism debate. And so this whole Russia narrative that's being created is simply to deceive and deflect from the very policies and the truths of the Democrat Party and what the Republicans are trying to do. So we need to get back to the facts, get back to the truth. And I will, after this break, we're heading into, our second hour already, second half of the second hour. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, and we'll get live and local next. And welcome back. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. We're getting live and local on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, on AM 790 in Sin City, as well as all throughout this state and Southern California, as I take over the mic for Kevin Wall this week, Monday through Friday, as he is on vacation and will be returning a week from today to take back his own show. But I'm happy to be here, happy to talk to you. And one of the reasons why I'm so happy to have this mic is that I love the dynamic relationship that talk radio gives me, and that's putting me in direct touch with you, the listening audience, because you can tweet me at ReaganBabe, you can email me at ReaganBabe.com, you can find me on Facebook at ReaganBabe and send me a note there, or you can call in. You can call toll-free, even 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. And there's someone holding on the line, on line two, by the name of Mike, that wants to disagree with me, and I love the disagreement. So let's hear it, Mike, line two. Thank you.
Good. Can you hear me, Megan?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How are you? You're
doing well.
A great job.
Well, thank you.
I thought your show Friday, when you had that gentleman from Poland, I thought was really prescient. I'm glad you had him on.
Thank you. The listening audience knows, he's one of my favorite people. His name is Matthew Timrand, which I believe is T-Y-M-R-A-N-D. You can find him on Breitbart. He is definitely, he's a Polish national, dual citizenship, and really has a good feel on international politics. But you wanted to talk to me and disagree with me on socialism and capitalism, so I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue. First of all, you say I'm an economic socialist and a social conservative. I know it's the opposite of what you usually run into. Big business is corrupt. Enron, etc. Big business are the elite. The insurance companies are making us serfs to their profit. It's never going to work. It's 7 years now. We can never have a healthcare system that's going to work unless it's nationalized, in my opinion. Because when you have you try to please insurance companies and provide healthcare for everybody, which I know you disagree with, it's a square peg in a round hole. I don't think the issue is socialism versus capitalism. I think the issue is the race issue and the gender issue, and that's what got Trump elected. Really, it's the white issue that got him elected. I mean, let's just talk turkey here. And it's also, on a deeper level, in my view, it's an issue of, I don't want to use God, because there's too much baggage. It's the people of spirit versus the people of matter. The people of matter, and the only two issues I agree with you on are abortion and the Muslim immigration. See, I look at it totally different. These, you know, it's capitalist greed versus social benefit. Every advanced country in the world has national health care. It's working. It's working better than what we have. You talk about the increase in taxes. Well, look at the increase in premiums. We're paying them a middleman who should not exist between health care, doctors and nurses, and the public. It's never going to work. It's 7 years. It's worse and worse and worse. People who don't have health insurance, I need to say bye, they go into the hospital, it's $5,000 a day. It's insane. We've got to kill the insurance companies. You think everything? You're letting me go on. I don't believe it.
You're not giving me much opportunity.
You think everything is done by one more thing, Megan?
Okay.
You think, and thank you. You think everything is done by private enterprise? Wrong. Their motive is greed. Basically, they have other motives. NASA. It's not private.
Where do you find the angels in government?
I don't.
Well,
where do you find the angels in Enron?
Well,
people are corrupt.
You can pick one. Well, inherently, right? That is sin is one of the first sin and corruption is very easy to find in man. But thank you for your call, Mike, and I'll answer kind of your points. Answer your points here. As far as healthcare is concerned, it was the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical manufacturers of America that actually backed Obamacare. Why? Well, they didn't really have a choice, did they? When they had a gun put to their head, of course, they're going to have to comply with the force of government. And that's exactly how government grows, is through force. And so when you do not open up competition and make the insurance companies compete amongst themselves as an industry, they are going to capitalize on profit, and if you want to call that greed, sure, call it greed. But without competition, we will never see prices come down. And so that's one of my issues that I have with this supposed repeal bill that's faced the Senate right now. We have a government intervention that took over 1/6 of our economy and only drove costs up, and that was Obamacare, and provided less service, which was Obamacare. That's nationalized healthcare, as close as we're going to get to it. Hopefully. Where you see nationalized healthcare implemented, you see it in Canada. And they have waiting times at minimum 6 months, unless you're a dog, of course. You can get an x-ray if you're a dog in a couple weeks. If you're a Canadian citizen, you have to wait 6 months. Then you look at nationalized healthcare over in London. It's called NICE. Well, there isn't so much that's really nice about it. Look at Charlie Gard, the baby, whose parents simply want control over the baby's life, but the state's saying, no, he's our property. That's nationalized health care, deciding when and how a person should live or die. That would be the government's job. Remember, it was Barack Obama who said, you know what, if your 80-year-old mother needs a stent in her heart, she might not just get it because, you know, she's 80. She might just have to take the red pill or the blue pill. Well, I'll tell you what, when my mom turns 80, it's going to be our decision on how she lives out the remainder of her life, not some government bureaucrat. It will also be her doctor's decision on how best to manage her end-of-life care when and if she arrives at that point, correct? So, or when she does arrive at that point. So, you know, we would, Mike, it sounds to me like you would be willing to sacrifice your choices when it comes to life and death of your health at the sake of a government bureaucrat. And that's exactly what nationalized healthcare does. You're a social conservative, but I think an economic socialist. Well, again, I would ask, feel free to tweet or email me, where you see a government healthcare system that truly does work. And why are all of those people that can afford it, why do they flee that government healthcare system to come to the United States? You know, the United States has innovation. Why? Because there wasn't government intervention in healthcare. The government did not produce the artificial heart. The government did not produce the MRI. You know, these are all capitalist inventions, many from doctors who had real life experience. And so the difference is truly socialism and capitalism. And you can be a socialist, you know, that's your choice. But I just ask you, where does it really work? Venezuela? No. Cuba? Not so much. So, you know, this is the greatest system that produces the most prosperity is a capitalist system. It raises more people out of poverty. In the history of the world, capitalism raises and lifts more people out of poverty. A socialist system maintains poverty, grows poverty. Why? Because the socialists in government rely on the dependency. More dependency, the happier the socialist. Let's clear the lines. And our last call for the before we go to break, we'll go to DG on line one. He wants to talk immigration enforcement. Hi, Gary.
Oh, hello, Megan. Yeah, your plate is full. We need you on the Glenn Beck, take Glenn Beck off. Nothing wrong with him. He's got some problems. Nah, it's just boring. We need new people.
You know what, Gary? I do not like his music. He's got the worst intro music. I don't know who made that for him, but he needs some new music. Anyway, go ahead.
I'd rather listen to Laura Ingraham. I'm sorry. She's on another show. I don't need to be like that. But what we need is a commemorative stamp from the post office for Black Lives Matter. Because being that we're going to lose the country, we can at least laugh and enjoy it as it goes down, you know. No, I did witness something a week ago. That's what I told Anderson. I witnessed two police officers. They were called to this little mall that I go down the street. There's a pizza place, a 7-Eleven, cell phone store, liquor store. He's a young Hispanic man. He's aggressively panhandling. People don't give him money. He gets obnoxious. Someone called the police. They're not going to arrest him. Because they say, and I get closer and closer, and they told me to go away. I have nothing to do with this. Move on. They're saying they have the discretion. They've already arrested this young man, and in 4 or 5 days, he's back on the street. He's laughing at everyone. He's going to cross Pecos illegally, a jaywalk. He's telling everybody, I'm here from Mexico. I want to go back to Mexico. I'm illegal. They're telling him if he comes back, they'll arrest him. But he's walking away telling the police that he's an illegal. He's a young Hispanic man with a bandana around his head, his pants around his ankles like he's a black guy, and he's very obnoxious. And every store owner is sick of him. But I witnessed him telling them that he's an illegal, that he wanted to go back to Mexico, and they didn't arrest him, Megan. And I'm usually on the side of the police, you know. I'm like Wayne Allen Root. But I was annoyed, you know.
Yeah,
so,
well,
I wanted to pass that on.
Well, thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. And that comes on the heels of Jeff Sessions' visit, who actually told Joe Lombardo he was doing a great job and that the quote-unquote sanctuary city policies that we had believed existed within the department are of no more, at least according to Jeff Sessions. Sheriff Lombardo is doing his job. So whether or not this was an isolated incident or maybe there's more of the story behind it outside of face value remains to be seen. But we do have plenty of illegal aliens in this state, hundreds of thousands. How do we know they're not voting? We don't. Many of them are able to register to vote at the welfare office. Thank you, Bill Clinton, under the Motor Voter Act, which is called the Help America Vote Act. And so, you know, being illegal here is illegal. And so we need to stop referring to these people as undocumented immigrants because the first crime is to be here illegally. And let's not forget the one of the most, I guess, prolific and nationally known illegal immigrants comes out of Las Vegas, or at least Nevada. She may reside up in northern Nevada, but she's all over the place. Astrid Silva, illegal immigrant, came here when she was 4, has known Harry Reid since she was 4. She's now approximately 28 years old. She's still illegal. In 24 years, 25 years, she hasn't found the time to become a citizen. I don't know if she's tried, but she certainly isn't a citizen. And she was tapped by the Hillary Clinton campaign to get out the vote on behalf of the campaign and here in Nevada. Now I ask you, you want to talk about foreigners interfering in the election? What about Astrid Silva? She definitely interfered in our state election. And how do we know that she's not voting? We don't. And so we had buses and buses of people come over from California. We know this. I talked to Chuck Muth about this, actually. The buses and buses of people come over, and the Secretary of State, Barbara Zagaski, said, well, they were just bussed over here to get out the vote. Well, again, okay, they were bussed over here. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people were bussed over here to get out the vote, along with their illegal immigrant advocate by the name of Astrid Silva. They were all getting out the vote, all these illegals. But you can't tell me with 100% assuredness that they didn't vote. Because you can't. Because we don't have ID. So I hear these stories a lot about people kind of flouting the law and bragging about their, and we have plenty of illegal aliens that are verified on Twitter. The one I think has won a Pulitzer Prize. One's being tapped by the Hillary Clinton campaign. These people are basically giving the finger to tax-paying, law-abiding citizens. Say, I'm here whether you like it or not, and I'm going to interfere in your election whether you like it or not. And we have no outrage. I'm outraged. I've been talking about this since, last year, when I first called out Astrid Silva. And you know what else I'm also outraged about? I'm outraged that it seems like every time we get close to getting some more dirt on Hillary Clinton, someone dies. On Friday, I talked about Peter Smith, who was a GOP operative who was found, they believe he committed suicide. Not like Vince Foster, who shot himself in the back of the head. But Peter Smith was found with a bag over his head in a hotel room in Minnesota with a helium tank strapped to it. But the latest Clinton exposer of her crimes is a Haiti official who exposed the Clinton Foundation. He's found dead in Miami. And guess what? It comes just before he was supposed to testify about the Clinton Foundation and what he knew about their basically fraud perpetrated on Haitians. His name is Klaus Eberwein, a former Haitian government official. He was expected to expose the extent of Clinton Foundation corruption and malpractice next week. He was found dead in Miami at the age of 50. Eberwein was due to appear next Tuesday before the Haitian Senate Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission, where he was widely expected to testify that the Clinton Foundation misappropriated Haiti earthquake donations from international donors. According to Miami-Dade's medical examiner, the official cause of death is gunshot to the head. Man, you just can't make this stuff up. Another gunshot to the head, much like Seth Rich, much like Vince Foster. Oh, and it was reported that the death has been registered as a suicide. Now, I'd love to see the coroner's report. Was this shot to the back of the head? God, how do you shoot yourself in the back of the head? No one can ask Vince Foster that. Eberwein, who had acknowledged his life was in danger, was a fierce critic of the Clinton Foundation's activities in the Caribbean island, where he served as director general of the government's economic development agency for 3 years. According to Eberwein, a paltry 0.6% of donations granted by international donors to the Clinton Foundation with the express purpose of directly assisting Haitians actually ended up in the hands of Haitians. A further 9.6 ended up with the Haitian government, and the remaining 89.8%, which totals $5.4 billion, was funneled to non-Haitian organizations, like Chelsea Clinton's wedding dress, for example. The Clinton Foundation, they are criminals, they are thieves, they are liars, they are a disgrace, Eberwein said at a protest outside the Clinton Foundation headquarters in Manhattan last year. Do you remember that, folks? Do you remember that huge Haitian uprising against the Clinton Foundation? Because they knew, they saw firsthand the amount of corruption and fraud that was perpetrated upon their country by the Clinton Foundation. They didn't see the money, the billions of dollars that were raised. The only one that saw the money were the ones that were connected to Clinton. The former director general of Haiti, who also serves as an advisor to Haitian President Michel Martelly, was also a partner in a popular pizza restaurant in Haiti, Munchies, and even has a Pizza the Claus special named after him. According to the Haiti Libre newspaper, Eberwein was said to be in good spirits with plans for the future. His close friends and business partners are shocked by the idea he may have committed suicide. And again, another suicide, another gunshot, another Clinton informant. Imagine that. Well, we got to take a break, and we're going to go into our last and final hour. I can't believe it. Time flies when you're having fun, when you get live and local. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, and we'll be right back after this break. And welcome back. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, filling in for Kevin Wall all this week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, same time, same place. I got this mic, I got this chair, and I'm excited about it. There is so much to talk about outside of Russia. Because the reason we're not talking about everything else is because the press colludes with the DNC. We know this. We know about fake news. And how do we know about fake news? Because of WikiLeaks, whether or not the Russians hacked the DNC. I mean, if that's what the DNC wants to claim, they haven't shown us any evidence. But if that's what they want to claim, they didn't turn over their servers for the FBI to investigate to really see if it was the Russians that hacked their server. Perhaps it was Seth Rich, but we'll never be able to ask him. But, you know, Cheryl Atkinson is one of my favorite reporters. And so is politicallyshort.com, who's Nick Short. And so while the press wants to talk about Russia, they don't want to talk about Ben Rhodes. Now, I want to talk about Ben Rhodes because the press isn't talking about Ben Rhodes. And I want Ben Rhodes subpoenaed. And I want him to testify in front of Congress on what he knew and when he knew it. Now, who is Ben Rhodes? Well, we'll get back to who is Ben Rhodes and how the narrative is being controlled by the media. And we're going to break into another piece by Cheryl Atkinson that you are going to want to hear called Newsgate 2016. I actually printed this out back in October, but it's so prescient. It's so timely. So don't go anywhere. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. And we'll get live and local next.